Well, good morning, everybody. It is great to be with you. And so in Matthew chapter 6, nestled within the Sermon on the Mount, we find Jesus contrasting religious performance with authentic devotion. And the Lord's Prayer is not a magical formula, but it's a pattern that shapes our hearts towards God's own character and purposes. And so this morning we're going to be exploring how Jesus' teaching on prayer calls us both to intimacy with the Father and participation in God's mission of renewing all of creation. And so as we heard already, that this is the way the scripture begins. Now, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward that they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. So Jesus begins this teaching on prayer with a warning against performance religion, right? The type of religion that is meant for other people to see. And Jesus says that the hypocrites, which literally in the Greek means actors, these actors have turned prayer into theater. They're loud and they're showy, because how else will everyone else know that we are spiritual or holy if we don't show it off? And so Jesus says these people have already received their reward. Mission accomplished. Everyone is looking at you. Everybody's looking at you instead of God. You know, prayer is not about impressing people. The purpose of prayer is to encounter God. And Jesus doesn't say if you pray, he says when you pray. He assumes that prayer is going to be a regular practice in the lives of his followers. It's about a relationship between the Father and us. God isn't distant or disinterested. God is intimately present, especially when no one else is watching. I think that what Jesus was saying, that the issue isn't whether we pray publicly or not, because Jesus certainly did pray publicly. The point for us to hear is that whether our public prayers flow out of a genuine private devotion, the secret place where our hearts are truly formed. And then Jesus continues, and talking about the simplicity of prayer, and he says this: so when you pray, don't babble on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. You know, so many people approach relationships this way, right? We think of relationships as transaction. I say the right words, I say them enough times, I put them in the right order, and I'm going to get what I want. But God isn't like that. Our Father already knows our needs. Now, this doesn't make prayer unnecessary. Rather, it reframes prayer entirely. We don't pray to inform or to twist God's arm. We pray to align our hearts with God's heart, to open ourselves to God's transforming presence, and to participate in the relationship for which we were created. And knowing this, right, this should liberate us from thinking about that we have to pray correctly. God isn't grading our grammar, and he's not impressed by our theological vocabulary. What God desires is our heart. And then we get into the pattern of prayer. And it begins simply with our Father. What Jesus gives us in the Lord's Prayer isn't a formula, it's a pattern. And the pattern begins with a relationship. When we say our Father, or we say our Father, not dear distant deity, or the cosmic force, but we say Father, intimate and personal and loving. Yet even as we say that, we don't say my Father, but we say our Father. Communal, binding us all together as God's children. And I think this is an important note because it challenges the individualism of our age. We cannot pray the Lord's Prayer selfishly because it begins by acknowledging our connection to the entire family of God. Our relationship with God necessarily involves having a relationship with God's people. So our Father in heaven, and that those words in heaven, it reminds us of God's transcendence and majesty. God is both intimately near, right? Father, our Father, and he is indefinitely before us or beyond us in heaven. The tension prevents us from either domesticating God into our image or distancing God as simply being irrelevant to our lives. Hallowed be your name. This is the very first petition, and this sets the tone for everything that follows. Right? We begin not with our needs, but with God's glory. To hallow God's name means to honor it, to give it reverence, and to live in ways that reflect God's holy character. We're praying, when we say, hallowed be your name, we're praying for inward and outward holiness, for our hearts and our lives to be transformed by love. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These petitions express the heart of God's mission. And God's kingdom is breaking into our world, and it began decisively with Jesus' ministry, his death, and his resurrection. And it continues to advance until it finally arrives in God's future. When the church prays, your kingdom come, we're asking God to finish what he started. We're asking for God's reign of justice and peace and love to displace all of these other kingdoms that are built upon oppression and violence and selfishness. But we're also offering ourselves. To pray for God's kingdom to come is to say, use me. Work through me. I want to participate in your redemptive purposes, God. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven is not some fatalistic resignation. It is a revolutionary prayer. Because in heaven, God's will is perfectly accomplished. On earth, it's contested and resisted and distorted. So we pray that earth would become like heaven, that God's purposes would be realized here and now. This petition also requires our surrender. Right? We align our wills with God's will. We release our grip on our own plans, our own agendas, and we open ourselves to God's better purposes. Our wills become aligned with God's will, not through coercion, but through love. Give us this day our daily bread. After three petitions focused upon God's glory and God's purposes, Jesus teaches us now to bring our needs to God. And he begins with the very most basic thing, bread, food, physical sustenance. I believe this prayer acknowledges our dependence. We need God. We cannot sustain ourselves by our own power. And it counters the illusion of self-sufficiency that pervades our culture. We pray not for a storehouse of today's bread. We trust that God will provide again tomorrow. If we pray, "Give us our daily bread," we acknowledge that all people are entitled to this daily need. We cannot pray this prayer authentically while hoarding resources or ignoring those who lack bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have also been forgiven of our debtors, or as we also have forgiven our debtors. I think this might be the most challenging part of our prayer. Jesus links God's forgiveness of us with our forgiveness of others. Now, what Jesus is not saying, he is not saying that we earn God's forgiveness by forgiving others. However, he is revealing that the genuine reception of God's forgiveness transforms us into a forgiving people. This petition, "Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors," confronts our grudges, our desire for revenge, our careful record keeping of other people's wrongs. And it calls us to release our debtors, just as God has released us from our debts. It's both a request for God's forgiveness and a declaration of our commitment to forgive. And this is impossible in our own strength. It requires God's transforming grace. And that is exactly why it's called a prayer. We ask God to do in us what we cannot do ourselves, to forgive us and make us a forgiving people. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The prayer concludes with a petition for protection. Right? We acknowledge our vulnerability to temptation and our need for God's deliverance. And this can refer both to everyday temptations and the end of time testing that will come before Christ's return. Jesus is teaching us to pray for God's protecting grace. We don't presumptuously march into temptation assuming that we are somehow strong enough to handle it. We humbly ask God to guard us from situations that would overwhelm us. The petition to deliver us from the evil one reminds us that deliverance is God's work. We cannot save ourselves. We need rescue, and God is our rescuer. God's grace enables us to overcome sin more and more as we grow in righteousness and holiness. The Lord's Prayer is not merely a formula to recite, but a pattern that should really shape our entire lives. It teaches us to begin with God's glory, not our needs. It teaches us to surrender to God's kingdom and God's purposes. It teaches us to trust God for our daily provision. It teaches us to live in the freedom of forgiveness, both received and extended. It teaches us to depend upon God's protection in our spiritual battles. Prayer is essential not because God needs our prayers, but because we need to pray. Because through prayer, we open ourselves to God's transforming grace. Because through prayer, our hearts are reoriented to God's heart. Because through prayer, we participate in the relationship for which we were created and are shaped towards the holiness that God intends for us. We need prayer. And as we leave this place today, let us commit ourselves to the discipline of prayer. Not as a drudgery, but as a joy. Not as an obligation, but an opportunity. Let us pray not to impress others or even to impress God, but to open ourselves to the Father who already knows what we need and who longs to give us more than we could ever ask or imagine. Help us, we pray, that we would help to understand that this is a part of our purpose. Right? We are called to worship, to pray. May we be a people who do exactly that. And may through this act of worship and of prayer, we would be transformed by the grace of the Father, conformed into the image of Jesus, empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit, to the glory of God and to the blessing of this world. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful that you long to hear from us. You long to talk with us. Now forgive us, God, for being tight-lipped. Forgive us for not sharing with you how much we are thankful for you. Lord, you deserve so much, and we offer you so little praise. Thank you, dear God, that we are not saved by our prayers. Thank you that we become transformed by them. Renew this desire of prayer within us, O God. And may our hearts be shaped into your image and likeness. Jesus, we pray all this in your precious name. Amen. Remember, church, prayer is not about perfection, it is about presence. And we come to God, we come to our Father with authenticness and trust and openness. And then God's grace will do the rest. You know, next Monday night, so Monday, February 16th, we're going to begin a new prayer night here at Concord Church. It'll be taking place the first and the third Mondays of the month. And we're going to be gathering to pray specifically for the needs of our church. You know, the prayer cards that we turn in, the prayers that we receive from outside, we will spend time lifting those up, praying for our community and the greater community in our world today. You know, this morning woke up and I heard that Pastor Jeff from Allison Park Church had passed away. He died after the Saturday evening service last night. And so there's a church that is in our community-ish that is reeling from the loss of their pastor and served that church for 35 years. And is now seeing God face to face. And so as we close today, I just want to pray for that congregation and pray for the loss that they are feeling, that God would heal them and be present with them. Prayers for his family as well. So let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for this blessing of prayer. And Lord, it's not about our perfection or our performance, but it's simply being in your presence. So we are grateful to come before you in our prayers. And Lord, this morning as we close our time of worship, we want to pray for Allison Park Church. God, we pray for Pastor Jeff's family and the loss that they are experiencing and going through today. God, we pray for that church that this pastor that they have known for 35 years is now no longer with them. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, your presence would be felt. Lord, that Pastor Jeff's his legacy would be lived out today by pointing people to Jesus. So, Lord, we stand with them, and we pray for them as well. Thank you, dear God, for this gift of prayer, this invitation to be with you. Lord, help us to do exactly that. Jesus, it is in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a wonderful Sunday.